Welcome back, everyone. Today is Friday, June the 2nd. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and all of you guys listening can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave... excuse me. Oh, goodness me. Goodness me. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that. Before I choke and die, why don't you read from us Isaiah 10, 1 through 2?
You're just so choked up about the verse of the day.
I got to drink something.
So moved. The verse of the day today comes from Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Like John said, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed to rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless."
Yeah, that was kind of that seventh grade book report, like all the books we read in seventh grade talk about that, like absolute power, just it corrupts.
Yep.
When you have power that is completely unchecked, it corrupts. But what we don't talk about is the more power that we attain, the more we forget where we come from. And the reason that it corrupts is because only God can handle that kind of power.
That's right.
We can't handle it. As human beings, we cannot handle something that was meant for God and for God alone. So our desire to attain all that power, to right misfortune, to decree unrighteous decrees, all that comes from the corruption of our hearts.
That's right. This verse makes me think of another verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, when we're weak, then we're strong because it's God's strength, not ours. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to get to a point where I feel like I'm like, yeah, I've got this. I've got it under control. I've got everything. I'm the man. I'm the one who has everything lined up, because then it's my strength. Then I'm only excelling to my level of capability. But in humility, if I can recognize that it's God's strength and I'm just being used by Him, I'm being, you know, an instrument of His will here on earth, then it keeps me in check. That's it keeps my ego in check, and it keeps the focus where it needs to be, on Him and not on me.
That's right. You know, for an opening segment, this one was submitted, but it was not submitted by a listener. Well, I guess in a way it was. This one was submitted by my wife.
Oh.
Ellie wants to give you $1 million.
Ellie, that's very generous. Thank you so much.
Here's the thing. The only bugaboo is that if you get the $1 million,
bugaboo,
anytime in the future, anytime you're in
a little snafu.
There's a little snafu. If you are in an awkward situation, like have you ever been in one of those situations where you're like, oh, I wish I was anywhere else.
I work with teenagers for a living.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime you're in that situation, you can leave, but you have to shout, hee hee, and moonwalk away.
100% yes.
Yes?
Absolutely, I would do this.
So
I may do this without the money. I just want to see people's faces. Like, the situation's getting awkward, people uncomfortable. I'm just,
like you're at a dinner party, and someone's like, wow, you know, Janet, the pork really isn't, it really isn't up to par. And she's like, well, if someone had been helping me in the kitchen instead of going fishing all day, that's when it happened. You're sitting there, you're like, and just moonwalk out.
Immediately, yes. Absolutely. Without question. Maybe even without the money. I would just love to do that. I'd love to just see the reaction when that happens. Absolutely, yes.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like it either will break the tension completely.
Uh-huh.
People will be like, why are we fighting? What are we arguing about? Or it would just make it way, way, way worse. But you don't have to be there for it.
Exactly. Because I've moonwalked away at this point.
That's my thing is, like, when I'm in awkward situations like that, I don't ever look to resolve it. I just leave. I just, like, have to vacate. Like, if it's I need to go to the bathroom, or I play like I'm on a phone call, or sometimes I actually just text David. I'm like, hey, call me real quick. But to just be like, hey, hey, and moonwalk away. Well, everyone's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go? Just away?
Yeah, just somewhere else.
Okay, Ellie, that's the answer.
I would absolutely take that. Would you take it?
I wouldn't like it, though. I wouldn't be happy about it. Yeah. Number one, I can't moonwalk. So, like, my moonwalk...
Oh, I can't either.
My moonwalk is just kind of like... I'm in a chair right now. That's probably terrible for audio, but... It's just kind of like walking backwards and doing my arms like this. This is how you moonwalk.
Oh, that was great.
How do you moonwalk? Can you put your arms by your side? I don't know. If you're not watching the video podcast, you really
moonwalk
need to.
Doesn't really have anything to do with the arms.
Yeah,
it's all the footwork.
Really. Yeah, I would still do it.
I would 100% take it.
You know what's funny? We have a vocal coach here at Clearview who taught dance for like 20 something years, and he can moonwalk.
I'm sure he can.
I bet I would get him. I think what I would do is I would get him to do it, Or I would just pay him like $100 every time and he'd do it for me. Mm. So like if we're in an awkward situation and he just goes, hee, 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 and moonwalks away, but then I'm still there.
Right.
So
you're still in an awkward situation.
I got to figure this one out. I might would do it, but I got to figure out how it would work.
Yeah. If you can moonwalk, like you can do it really well. That's more impressive than anything else.
Everyone's like,
wow.
Okay. Like politely clap. Cool.
So just a real quiet clap.
I got to ask Dr. Shaw if he would do that.
I would absolutely take that.
Okay.
We're going to bring Dr. Shaw in. I'm anxious to hear his answer. But if you guys would moonwalk out of an awkward situation, complete with a hee-hee, text in and let us know.
I'll say you could also go, shamon. Chaka 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 chaka. Yeah.
Text us in at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey everyone, my name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today Show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. And if today is your first day joining us here on the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abhinand Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abhinandshah.com.
And Dr. Shah, I think I speak for all of our listening audience when I say I am hooked on the story of John Chrysostom. Like we started talking about it yesterday and we got to the end of the episode and I was like, that's it? That's all there is? I want to know more. I want to know more about this guy.
Well, today we're going to talk about the rest of the story.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name used to say that?
The rest of the story? I don't know.
I forgot now. Oh. But it'll come to me. But anyways.
It'll come to you. As soon as we start recording, you'll be like, I remember who it is.
Yeah. So the year now is 398 AD.
Mm.
And he gets kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
Sorry, pastor got kidnapped?
Yeah.
That was not the direction I was expecting.
Well, let me back up a little bit and explain what that means.
Paul Harvey, by the way.
Paul Harvey, yes. Yeah. Oh, Paul.
Paul.
But anyways, he used to say, for the rest of the story. But, you know, back in those days, the really, really good speakers, pastors, bishops, whatever you want to call them, when they were being asked to take on a major pulpit, the first church of so-and-so, you know, their reaction is completely opposite to the reactions people have today.
Really?
Like today, people canvass. They try to get to the people on the pulpit search committee. They try to, you know, make themselves look better than they are so that they can get that church.
They want that pulpit. Mm.
They want that county seat church. They want that big church. They want that church with, man, we got so many subdivisions going over here. It's a matter of time. It's like waiting. you know what these guys used to do?
I don't want it.
They would escape.
I know good way. He didn't pay people to kidnap him, did
they? They would run away.
Huh.
They would escape. They would skip town. They go into hiding.
They didn't want it?
They didn't want it.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's something that's funny because today it's like, hey, so-and-so big church is coming. I wonder, unless they make somebody from their own staff up there, you know, you need to apply for it.
Yeah, I don't know which is better.
Absolutely not.
Should you want it too much or should you just not want it at all?
back in those days, they would skip town. Huh. And so the emperor, not emperor, but the guy who was behind making him the pastor of the flagship church of the empire,
mm-hmm,
okay? Because mm-hmm. the capital is Constantinople now instead of Rome, sends a contingent of soldiers to find him. So they do detective work, figure out where he is, and they capture him, and they kidnap him and take him to Constantinople and say, you will be the pastor of this church.
Unbelievable.
So he ran, he fled to avoid being called his pastor, and they nabbed him and brought him back.
They brought him back.
I got you. So what? They kidnapped him so he would be the pastor. Yeah. He had to be the
pastor.
But
they took him by force, and they made him. But I think it tells a lot about how people thought of themselves.
Yeah. Mm.
Today we market ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, they thought of themselves so low that, not me. Why don't they pick somebody else? Well, he's better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want it. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's just too big for me. I'm not worthy of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. There's so many people better than me.
That's true. Like you think about today, like that's all social media really is we're marketing ourselves. Every single,
it's called humble brag.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Every single person with a smartphone thinks they have a brand.
Well,
and that
brand
needs to be cultivated.
Even on social media, there's a platform designed to market yourself. Now,
right.
That's all LinkedIn is.
Right.
Is marketing yourself and making connections.
Mm-hmm. TikTok, you work on your brand as a person. Like your personality, things that people just used to like you for,
yep,
is now your brand. That's your selling point.
Hey, selfie with people. Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Hey. Humbled.
Yeah.
You're not humbled.
You're 100%. Like, look who I'm with.
Look who I'm rubbing
shoulders. But then he's smiling. And it looks real, too. So that's how you know we're friends.
That's right.
Now my project is going to be to Google the hashtag humbled and see what those posts actually are.
Oh, that's a good point. We ought to put them on the show.
Hashtag humbled? I think not.
We need to. That should be a segment of our podcast. Hashtag humbled. Is like every week we'll find people who have put hashtag humbled. And we'll just look through the pictures and we can judge whether they're actually hashtag humble.
Well, he begins. He said, all right, okay, calm down, let me go. Okay. I don't know if he said that or not.
It's like, all right, I guess I'll do it. It's like, oh yeah, no, you're gonna do it.
or we'll find you again.
Yeah.
So he becomes the Bishop of Constantinople, and immediately he takes step to reform the imperial court, the clergy, and people. Like, I'm not here to play games.
Yeah, you wanted me? Here I am.
Here I am.
I like this guy.
Hashtag Batman style. You wanted me? Here I am. Yeah, there you go.
I'm the pastor you need right now.
Yeah, there you go.
And he preaches a series of homilies. Homilies are like sermons, but they're different, kind of shorter. But he begins a series on the incomprehensible nature of God. And then he even did a series on Philippians and Colossians. I mean, amazing. He began series after series.
That's incredible.
And many of those messages are available today.
Golly.
Yeah, they were kept down. So he begins this, and then the guy who got him that position, Eutropius, he was not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to have the most illustrious pastor in the Roman Empire to be the pastor of the capital.
Mm.
That's what he was doing.
Makes sense. Mm.
And so he said and did something that made the empress mad.
Uh-oh.
And so they went after him. So he immediately ran to Hagia Sophia.
No.
Yes. Sanctuary.
Was it like a sanctuary thing? Or I feel like Chrysostom can help me out?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he was doing.
It's
like, please help me, please help me. And so, Chrysostom took him in, but I want you to hear what he said. This is kind of funny. If I can find that section right quick.
I can just imagine this dude like getting word that the empress, like the emperor is mad at you. That's pretty bad. But now his wife is mad at you?
The empress is mad at you?
Oh, yeah. You have well and truly messed up. He's going in there and he's like, please, dude, you got to help me.
So he's Sunday morning. Eutropius is standing there in front of the whole congregation. John begins a sermon
there you go.
Oh, vanity of vanities.
Yeah, dude.
All is vanity.
Drag him, Chrysostom, drag him.
Oh, man.
And he rebukes Eutropius for all his worldly behavior. And then he turned to the people and said, I say this now, not in order to shame the fallen, but to exhort to prudence those who are still upright. not in order to push a shipwrecked person into the deep, but to warn the others before they're also shipwrecked.
Golly, this dude is on.
This guy's on fire.
He's on fire, man. He's letting them have it.
Oh man,
I love it.
My kind of preacher. I mean, he's you know, a serious business. Yeah. It's like a father who knows when his kids are messing up, and he's not going to be like sitting here completely, snowed. He doesn't know what's going on. You know, kind of gumming his food. He's like, no, yeah. I'm telling you, right. I know exactly what you did, and here's what I'm going to talk to you
and
about.
And he's not letting the I think the allure of being a powerful person and rubbing shoulders with powerful people get him. Like, it would have been tempting, I think, in today's age to be like, hey, I'll help you out, we'll keep it quiet, just me and you, and now you owe me, and we've got this thing under the scenes that we he's like, no, I'm gonna stand
I'm
up
gonna
for
deal
what's
with
right
you now.
yeah.
And so after the sermon, you know, he talked to the Emperor Arcadius and said, you know, let this guy go. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is what it is. And so they worked it out, and Eutropius was okay. And then he later on broke the agreement, and then he was beheaded.
Unbelievable.
Eutropius wouldn't get it.
He just didn't make it in there. Yeah,
that kind of shocked me a little bit. I was like, oh.
Let it go. And then
like,
well,
I tried to help the guy. Just didn't.
You hate to see a redemption arc cut short by a beheading.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, there were some other things that happened, which we don't have time to get into, where, you know, Chrysostom really distinguished himself as being a very authoritative voice. A voice of reason, a voice of grace, a voice of God to the people. And it was pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
But then about 3 years into being the pastor there, he was in trouble.
He's in trouble now?
Yeah, he's in trouble. He's in trouble because, in Antioch, you know, he was preaching the truth. He had his strengths and weaknesses kind of come together. It was perfectly suited for Antioch. Mm-hmm. Constantinople was a different world, where people were not going to humble themselves and go, hey, he's our pastor. You know, listen, he's got his ways, but he's speaking the truth, and we know we got to listen. Constantinople, they're like,
Who do you think you are?
This is not why we brought you here.
We gave you the biggest pulpit in the world. Now, don't start with us.
Oh, no.
So what made it difficult was that, you know, now keep in mind, his church had 100,000 members.
Yeah, that's true. That's a big church.
Good gracious.
I'm trying to think of a church today that's got 100,000 members.
Mega church. Even by today's standards, that's a mega church.
And according to some people, it was more than that. But every Sunday, close to 100,000 people would come listen to him. So he preached several times. Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, and Constantinople, they all had close to 100,000 people.
Wow.
That's
like,
a lot.
Yeah, it's like the population of just one of those big mega empire cities. Yeah. That's incredible.
Rome, Antioch, Alexandria, Egypt, Antioch from where Chrysostom came, and Constantinople, and of course Rome, close to 100,000 members who showed up every Sunday.
Wow.
Great. Or close to it. Maybe not 100, but let's just say 80,000. Yeah. That's still a lot.
I mean, 80,000 people.
Yeah,
good.
It was only 80,000? What a chump. Well, like,
yeah.
No, that's
disregard
insane.
Him. No.
No, Chrysostom was not out to make friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was an equal opportunity offender.
So, did he have 100,000 people angry with him?
No, they loved him.
Uh-huh.
Okay, people loved him because he told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he confronted the wealth, the abuse of wealth and power by the imperial family. He was not into politics. He said, I'm not going to do these politics. But in Antioch, he didn't have to because people still supported him.
Yeah.
Right.
Constantinople, they're like, oh, you're not going to play politics? Well, we will.
So only a few people were angry with him, but it was the powerful few. I got you.
I mean, when it came to eating and stuff, he would not like say, oh, yeah, let's see, who am I having lunch with today? No, he's like, I eat by myself.
That's just my kind of guy. I mean,
that's right.
Like,
yeah, I don't have time to get into the social life and stuff. And No time for those kind of things. Yeah. I'm your pastor, and that's what I'm going to do.
I got you.
He gets in trouble with these guys. What happens as a result?
Well, he also got in trouble with some of his own priests because he knew what they were doing.
Mm.
Right? I mean, they had you know, these, they were supposed to be celibate, but they had, how do I say this, spiritual sisters.
Yeah, they weren't celibate.
Ah.
Yeah. So he preached that some of the spiritual sisters kept becoming spiritual mothers. How is that possible?
He's, dude, scandalous at the moment.
Here's what I need, and if anybody has this out there, let me know, 252-582-5028. I need a John Chrysostom burn book, like a book of roasts.
Yeah, yeah,
I need that.
Just straight up,
like,
burn
if there's an
roast.
App, I'll download it. If I can order on Amazon, I need that.
He takes the priest faces and just glues them into the book and just put it.
Just
and
like zingers.
He writes like spiritual mothers, three question marks behind it, underlined three times.
I mean... So the priests are like, really? You're exposing us? And so that didn't help matters. So, and then he, you know, people loved horse racing and gambling and all that. So then he had a message on that.
Yeah.
Even something like this. Let's just talk about the theater. He talked about the theater. Uh-huh. He said, if you see a shameless woman in the theater who treads the stage with uncovered head and bold attitudes, dressed in garments adorned with gold, flaunting her soft sensuality, singing immoral songs, throwing her limbs about in the dance, and making shameless speeches. Do you still dare to say that nothing human happens to you then?
Huh.
Long after the theater is closed and everyone is gone away, those images still float before your soul. Their words, their conduct, their glances, their walk, their position, their excitation, their unchaste limbs. And as for you, you go home covered with 1,000 wounds.
He's right, man. He's right.
But wow. Not alone. The prostitute goes with you, although not openly and visibly, but in your heart and in your conscience. And there within you, she kindles a Babylonian furnace in which the peace of your home, the purity of your heart, the happiness of your marriage will be burned up.
Wow.
Wow.
He's for real.
I mean, he could come and stand in our pulpit today and that would be not like, well, I know. I mean, he's a man of a different time. It would be like. You'd have the altar filled with people.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He's speaking same things we're struggling with today. Same exact things
new,
people.
Nothing
new at all.
And those are just application-oriented sermons. But then when you read his sermons on Christ and who he is through Colossians and all that, I mean, this theology was so rich and so full.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he fussed about that. He fussed about horse racing. He says, still there are those who simply leave us here alone and run off to the circus and the charioteers and the horse races. So far, have they yielded to their passions that they fill the whole city with their cries and unrestrained yelling? I mean, like he's talking about a football game, right? At which one would have to laugh if it were not so sad. If some... He goes on and says this, if some will still persevere in their moral corruption, they will finally be separated and cut off. Then they will be excluded from the congregation. If you shudder with horror at this judgment, then let the guilty one simply show repentance and the judgment will be lifted. I mean, he refused to give some of them communion.
Wow.
He said, I'm not giving it to you. Get out of
here. Holy moly. He's taking a stand.
So, you know, that's the kind of preacher he was. That's how powerfully he preached against the sin of the time.
Did he get himself out of hot water?
Well, people loved him. Uh-huh. But then what made it difficult was that the Empress Eudoxia, I mean, there's a painting that was done by this French painter, and I mean, it's a painting. You know, he wasn't there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But is the painting known as the Synod of Oak? And this is what the painting is. I mean, you see this preacher. I mean, he is ranting and raving against
at the Empress. Wow. We can post that in the the video episode.
Yeah, it is a powerful painting done by this French Jean-Paul Lorenz, and it's called Chrysostom and Eudoxia.
Wow.
And he made her mad.
Mm.
Now, initially, Eudoxia was on his side. But when he began to call her down too, because you're doing things that are not right and you're using your power to do this and that and the other, when he began to rail on her, that's when things turned ugly. You know, she was mad because Chrysostom was actually calling her out too. And when this was going on, there was a pastor in Alexandria, Egypt, who was sort of a candidate for the same position that Chrysostom got.
Mm-hmm.
So when he knew that, oh, seems like some people are mad.
Yeah, I feel like I might capitalize on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and he did. And he got a bunch of monks or whoever from Egypt to join him to go and fight against Chrysostom.
Wow.
And they showed up in Constantinople, called the Synod of Oak,
uh-huh.
and they tried to get Chrysostom out, and they did. And Eudoxia, you know, sent him off in an exile, and it wasn't but maybe a day or two, if I'm not wrong, but they brought him right back because it was an earthquake.
Really?
Yeah, they were like,
we messed up.
Now the Lord himself is, all right, get him back.
So they brought him back, and then just a little while later, and you know, people went into a riot.
Because they deported him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But then the second time he did it again, or he didn't compromise. I'm not here to compromise. I'm here to preach the truth, and I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this time again, he was exiled, but this time he didn't come back.
He stayed
wow.
exiled.
They kept him in exile. They sent him on the east side of the Black Sea. And it was a tough time for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, he didn't live long. I mean, if his age, I'm trying to find his age right here. He was born in 349 mm-hmm. AD, and he died in 407. So how old was he?
349, you said?
349.
He was 58.
That's it.
Wow.
But he looked like an old man, looked like a prophet out of the Old Testament.
Wow.
That looked like. That's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's the passion with which he lived his life. And so, but this time when they sent him off, he was deposed, he was exiled in 403, same year. You know, first time sent away, but came back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Second time sent away, but this time, you know, he didn't come back. In 404, he was sent off. And he lived for 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote letters and all that to a lot of his friends and people he mentored. But never made it back.
Wow.
In fact, he got terribly sick. Mm. He died.
What's the, if you could maybe find one or two things, what do you think are the biggest things that you've learned from his life?
I mean, think about it today. What's the name of that bishop from Alexandria? The one who came to fight against him?
I've got no idea.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nobody knows him. Yeah. But you know Chrysostom.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the world's idea of what is success and who comes on top is not what matters to God.
That's right.
And here's a man who sort of lost, right? When he was sent away, he lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
If you were to try time travel and be in Constantinople in 404, it's like, yeah, we got rid of Chrysostom. No, they didn't. No. In fact, with this podcast, this radio show right here, we just introduced people to somebody they didn't know before.
That's yep. right. That's right.
Gave his legacy new life.
Yeah, a whole new life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go on for, you know, who knows, mm-hmm. ages to come. So do things right by God.
That's right.
And God will carry on your impact.
Mm. That's a great point.
You know, God will care. In fact, his dying words were, glory be to God in all things. Amen.
Amen.
And wow. and we still say that today.
Yeah.
Glory be to God in all things.
That's mm-hmm. right.
But those are actually Chrysostom's words.
That's beautiful.
That's incredible. If you guys enjoyed today's topic, you want to learn more about the life of John Chrysostom, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I mean, what do you want to do?
Just say for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, let me say that again. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up countless other ministries. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, I messed up. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, if any of y'all are interested in reading on his life, there are many good books out there. But here's a good one that I began reading, put it away, now I'm going back to. It's called Golden Mouth, The Story of John Chrysostom, Ascetic Preacher and Bishop, by J.N.D. Kelly. And J.N.D. Kelly was professor in Oxford University, London. But he wrote a great book on him. But you may have to do some research on the side to really understand the places, the names, the situations that he was talking about. But hopefully this show will come.
Yeah, I think so. That's awesome.
Adding that to my Amazon cart as we speak. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clear Read Today.